Well, good morning. You guys awake? Have you had your coffee? I heard the food was awesome. Katie, my friend who's with me in the back, has had her coffee. Thank you for talking back. Here's the thing that that I love. My husband and I are pastors at a great church here. We meet in Laguna Hills High School. It's called the Movement Church, and we always tell our church, talk back. It's okay to engage with someone who is communicating with you. We're going to have some fun today. I'm going to share today. But please feel free to feel like you're a part of the conversation. I'm not just talking at you. And I'm hoping that the conversation we have will just stir up some thoughts inside of you, some things where you get to be a little introspective. I'm excited. My friend Allison, who has been in our church for many years, we just talked about that at the table back there. She invited me to come and share. And I thought, I'm so excited to do that because I love connecting with women. I love connecting with moms because I am a mom. I have two girls. One of them is 20 years old. She's about to graduate from college, and that is unreal. So all of you with the beautiful, cute little babies that you're like right now, they're so tiny and they're so cute and they're keeping you awake at night and you are exhausted and you're tired physically. Just enjoy the moment. Everyone told me to enjoy the moment, and I was in such a hurry to hit milestones with my kids and like get to a place where it was like, oh, I can finally rest. Let me just tell you, you're physically exhausted now, but it's emotionally can be exhausting later. And what I do know is that you can raise amazing, amazing kids whom you love hanging out with. And there's my 20-year-old, and I have a 15-year-old daughter as well. She's a sophomore in high school. And I just can't tell you how much I love hanging out with my kids. They're awesome. And so all of you with little ones right now that are just trying to survive and get through, there will come a moment where you just are having such a great time. You may be enjoying the moments with the baby right now, but I just want to encourage you. Like, there will come some great moments where you just have so much fun with your kids. And that's kind of the spot that my husband and I have landed in. I loved that we celebrated marriages up here. Because you guys, wow. And who had been married for 39 years? Where is my friend? My goodness, well done. And then I had a 29 years too, right? So well done. I'm just a little behind you. We're going on 24 years. So I'm telling you, it can be done. And somebody said, but by the grace of God, and that is actually true. So just lean into that. I want to share this morning, but you know, anytime I have an opportunity to share, I know that I can't say every single thing that I want to say. And so a handful of years ago when I turned 40, I wrote a book called Hey Babe, What I Wish I Knew Then. And so it's on Amazon, and I just like to throw that out there because if there's anything I say that resonates with your heart or you're like, man, I have some more questions or anything like that, I tried to put every single thing I learned in the short 40 years of my life into this book. And so I think they have a QR code, yeah, for where you can grab it. And I know that I feel like I know less now than I thought I knew when I was 20. So I know that's not everything, but it's a little bit of the things that God has taught me, and I'd love to share it with you. We're gonna dive in today. And when Allison invited me to speak, I just thought, you know, what do I want to share about? And I've got so many tips from having raised some amazing girls that I love to share, some practical tips to invest in your kids. But honestly, at the end of the day, I just started thinking, you know, if we as women aren't healthy on the inside and in our souls, we're going to really struggle in our parenting. And so my hope today is to unpack something with you that I think will be really beneficial for you personally and for your relationships. And my hope is that we can go through that part. And at the very end, I'm gonna just give you like a little word dump of some great parenting tools you can put in your parenting toolkit. But what I really wanna talk about today is just some matters of the heart that I feel like will benefit you in relationship. And what I love seeing is a room full of women like this, especially gathered at tables, building relationship with one another, because we actually really need one another. There's a verse in the book of Ecclesiastes that says, two are better than one because they have a sweet reward for their labor. If one falls down, there's someone else to pick him up. And I've just got to tell you, you need some women in your life. You need some friends in your life that are gonna be a support for you in the hard times, but also cheer for you in the good times. You need those people. In fact, that's why you've got mentor moms sitting around the room, because they're like, we're here to be cheerleaders for you. So I wanna talk about building relationships and doing together, because how many of you have ever had a hard time with female friendships? Okay, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. And so I just wanna hit on maybe one of the issues that tends to affect us with that. I am wearing my glasses today. I am not an obedient patient and I don't wear them very often, but I'm wearing them today. And for the sake of the illustration, the reason I hate wearing glasses is because I'm constantly getting smudges on them. Any of you wear glasses that you just struggle with? I constantly am getting like all of this stuff on. I don't even know where it comes from, but it's constantly on my glasses. And I'll never forget one day we were driving down the road and my husband looks at me and he goes, "Oh my gosh, give me your glasses." And so I take them off, like, okay, and I hand them over to him in the car, and he starts cleaning the lenses. And he was like, "How can you even see out of those?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I thought I could see just fine." And he hands them back to me, and I put them on, and I was like, wow. The world is so much clearer. It was amazing. And what had happened was I had all the smudges on my glasses that were distorting the way that I was seeing things. And I think often in our relationships with other women and with friends, I think often we can get some unintentional smudges on our glasses that distort the way that we see people and one another. And what I want to talk about today is one of those smudges that I think comes so easily. It distorts our perception of our friendships and the people that are around us. And it's the issue of comparison. I talk a lot about the issue of comparison because I don't think that there is a woman that I know, to be honest, I don't think there's a man I know that doesn't at some point or another struggle with the issue of comparison. And what I want to encourage you with, I'm going to give you a thought to memorize. So if you are writing down notes, I would encourage you to write this down and make it part of a mantra for you. I've been saying this for a long time, and I still have to remind myself of it. It's the statement that comparison is the root of all inferiority. Comparison is the root of all inferiority. The reason I can say that is because when I compare myself to someone else, I will always feel inferior because I'm not made to be you, and you're not made to be me. And whether I'm comparing myself with the physical attributes of somebody else or comparing myself with their accomplishments or the way that their marriage looks or the way that they're raising their kids, anytime I'm comparing myself to someone else, it will always stir up feelings of inferiority. And if it's not inferiority, it's often pride and judgment. Because insecurity and pride are two sides to the same coin. Insecurity says, I'm not enough. Pride says, I'm more, I'm better. So what I really want us to do today is kind of take off the proverbial glasses of our life and evaluate, has there been anything that's created some smudges that's distorting the way that I view relationships? Because comparison will take you out. It will take you out. And what I know is that we need one another. In fact, raising kids is so hard. Marriage is so hard. And if you don't have some godly, encouraging friendships in your life, you will get to a point where you feel like you cannot do it. So we need one another, which means we've got to address some of these issues of the heart so that we can build real, authentic relationships with one another, right? The book of Romans chapter 12 says this. It says, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves to each other or trying to be something we aren't. Now, this is the Message paraphrase, but I just love how it paraphrases the scripture. It says, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Just you be you and I'll be me. Let's be what we were made to be and not try to compare ourselves to anyone around us. But the world that we live in today, you guys, is like a buffet of comparison. How many of you know that if you jump on social media, whatever platform you are on, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever the situation is, if you jump on there, it is like a buffet of comparison. It's an easy thing to fall into at any moment. Have you ever eaten at a buffet? Anyone? You can have Chinese food, Italian food, a banana split. You can have cookies. You can have everything your heart desires when you eat at a buffet, but what do you always leave feeling like? Disgusting. You feel sick to your stomach, right? And I just think it's so interesting that social media is often referred to as our feed, what we're scrolling through, because oftentimes when we're looking at what's happening in other people's lives, it creates inside of us this like, this comparison of that's not what my life looks like, or maybe my life looks better. Comparison will weaken friendships and leave you feeling unsettled. And it often leads to feelings of judgment or pride, and even more so, jealousy. Jealousy is resentment against another's achievements or advantages. You know, how does this play out in being a mom? How does it play out in being a human? I guess I should ask. Because I think jealousy comes after all of us. And then there's moments when we're comparing ourselves to someone else's story or situation that we can feel that little root of jealousy start to come up inside of us. Maybe it's looking at some of the blessings that someone else has received. Maybe the house that they moved into and you've been waiting for the house of your dreams. Maybe it's their child's success and the things that their child is good at, and you're like, I just want that for me. I think oftentimes, especially for those of you that are young moms, I think sometimes there's such a thing happening in our nation right now. There's such a hard time. A lot of women are having a hard time getting pregnant. And I've just found that there's so many times where you open up a baby shower invitation for somebody else, and it's like, man, when is it gonna happen again for me? And that might happen in relationships. It happens in so many areas of our life as women where jealousy sets in, where we see something that someone else has accomplished, that they have, that they've experienced, and we go, well, what about me? And what I really wanna do is get to the root of that today, because jealousy is the breeding ground for murder. That's a strong statement. Jealousy is the breeding ground for murder. Now, if you're familiar at all with the scripture, there's a story in the very beginning in Genesis where Adam and Eve have two children, Cain and Abel. And maybe you've heard the story and maybe you haven't. But the bottom line is Cain gets very jealous of his brother Abel and he takes his life. It's the first murder that's recorded in the Bible. And it stems from a root of jealousy. Now, most of us today are probably not thinking about murdering someone. At least I hope not at your tables today. So it sounds like an extreme statement to say that jealousy is the breeding ground for murder, but what I'm talking about is not necessarily the taking of a life, but that of a reputation, the death of a friendship, the death of a destiny. And when we allow jealousy and comparison to become deeply seated in our heart, it often leads to the death of relationships. So Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceptive above all things. And Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. So all these things that we're talking about today that I'm asking us to take an evaluation of in our own spirit, it all stems from the place of our heart. So the greatest thing that we can do as women is to actually be diligent with guarding our heart. If you are here and you desire a true, life-giving, healthy friendship, guard your heart. When those thoughts of comparison creep in and you start to find yourself, I promise, if you will make this a goal, I promise you'll start to become aware of how often you do it. It's like, have you ever heard a message about gossip? If you ever heard anybody talk about gossip and then all of a sudden you catch how many times you start to talk about somebody else, you're like, whoa, I'm doing that a lot and I didn't realize it. The same thing happens with comparison. If you will begin to catch every single time you have a thought about somebody else and you compare yourself to her story, to her situation, if you will begin to catch that every single time, that is the first key to guarding your heart. Because you can't necessarily control what thoughts just pop into your head, but you can control what you do with them. You can control the moment that it pops into your head and you go, whoa, I'm not going to think that today. Comparison is the root of all inferiority. I'm not going to compare myself to her. I'm not going to compare my marriage to her. I'm not going to compare my kids to her. I am not going to do that. It's a moment where you stop the thought dead in its tracks. You know, you, as Dr. Seuss says, are uniquely you. He says, today you are you. It is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. You might have read that to your little kids. But it's a statement that's so true. God made you uniquely you. There's no one else on the planet that he made exactly like you are. And the beautiful thing about that is that God intentionally gave you your kids. So the children that you are raising, God gave them to you because of how he made you unique. And so when you begin to grasp that and get that in your spirit, like I am exactly who God created me to be, there's this thing that kind of settles and this confidence that comes up that is amazing. Today you're you. It's truer than true. There's no one alive that is youer than you. God does not make mistakes. He made you exactly as he intended you to be. And he gave you the exact children that you have because what's inside of you is the very thing that they need. You know, there's a statement I heard when I was a young mom. And I think I only had my oldest daughter at the time, Brooklyn. And I was thinking about all the things that I had struggled with growing up, high school and coming into young adulthood. And I was just thinking about so many of the insecurities that I had felt and the things that I had wrestled with. And I thought, gosh, I don't want that for her. I want her to be confident. I want her to live her life with purpose. I want her to feel like she can do anything in the world that she sets her mind to do. And I had that desire inside of me, but I just didn't know how to do it. And I heard somebody say, moms, and those of you that have little girls, let me tell you this. I think it works for boys too, but there's something really specific about little girls. I heard someone say, moms, you can actually vaccinate your daughter against a low self-esteem. And I thought, well, what does that look like? And this person began to explain, there's something about you recognizing that you are exactly who you were created to be. And making sure that the words that come out of your mouth about yourself are edifying, are encouraging, are positive. If you as a mom will actually look in the mirror and say, you're beautiful. You are gifted. You are called for such a time as this. You have what it takes today. If you will begin to be the kind of woman that actually speaks life over yourself, it will make a difference in the life of your kids. And can I just tell you, in watching my girls grow up, there's some things that I was really careful about, and I'm going to just sidetrack just a tad bit for those of you that are in here and give you that. I was really, really careful about talking about body image in front of them. I was really careful. I never stood in front of a mirror and said, oh, I look so fat today. Did I feel that way? Yes. Were there moments where I felt completely insecure? Yes. But I made it a point to never let my girls hear me tearing myself down. Because as a mom, you can actually vaccinate your kids against a low self-esteem by being the kind of woman that says, no, I'm exactly who God made me to be. You speak that over yourself and you speak it over them. And I'm telling you, it's a game changer. And can I also tell you, and this is a little side note, but I threw it in my notes today because I just think it might matter for some of you. We're talking about not comparing ourselves. We're talking about not being jealous of other people. And I think that the way we talk about other people in front of our kids really matters. So I know some of you have just got little babies and they may not understand exactly what you're saying right now, but there will come a day where they start to pick up on what you're saying and what you're not saying. And those of you with preschoolers, let me just tell you, they are listening. Elementary age kids, they are listening and they are reenacting what they see from you. So the way that you talk about other women, the way that you talk about the people that are in your world, the way that you handle your anger when you feel like you've been mistreated matters. It matters. If you want to raise kids that are confident in who they are, that love themselves and love others, you got to make sure as a mom you're modeling it first. We were watching this movie the other day, and it just had, I was with my girls, and it had just like mean girls. And I'm watching it, and I was like, is this even real? Like, do people actually act like that? And both of my girls turned and looked at me, and they were like, yes. And I'm like, it's unreal to me. You've seen them, the movies that have the mean girls in it, and you're like, that can't be real, right? Nobody actually acts like that. And my girls are like, yes, they do. And I just had this thought, and I'm gonna throw it out there for you. Mean girls come from mean moms. And this is a little rabbit trail today in our conversation, but if you truly wanna raise kids who are confident in themselves, treat themselves with respect and treat others with respect, how you speak about yourself and how you speak about others really, really matters. So what do we do? What I know about the smudges on our glasses and how we view people and relationships is that once we begin to identify them, then we have to decide, how do we respond? Like, how do you actually deal with the thoughts that pop into your mind of comparison, of jealousy, of competition, of judgment? Because all of us have them. I have them. I gotta constantly deal with some of the messiness of my own heart. I've gotta constantly clean my glasses so that I view relationships in the right way, not just for the sake of my relationships, but because I know the effect that that has on my children, right? So what do we actually do about that? Well, one of the things that you can do is to choose loyalty. Choose loyalty. The question for you today is, what if we could choose to be loyal in relationships? Not competitive, but loyal. Not envious, but loyal. Not comparing, but loyal. The definition of loyal is this. It says to be devoted to stand by, to fulfill promises, and listen to this part, to forsake any ambition that compromises the relationship. To forsake any ambition that compromises the relationship. See, that definition of loyalty tells me that loyalty is going to require a sacrifice on my part. Don't let opportunity trump relationship. See, there's only a part of my destiny that's in me. Another part of it is in others and in the relationships that I have. And what I've found throughout the course of the 45 years that I have, what I've found is that most people are loyal as long as it's convenient, unless something better comes along, or until someone else comes along who can do more for them. So they ditch old friends for new ones. Can I just say, maybe you're here and you feel like that's been the story of your life? Maybe you feel like you've constantly been the one tossed to the side. And you're like, I want loyal relationships. I'm doing everything that I can do for them, but I constantly feel like I'm the one that's discarded. And I'm so sorry that that's the way that you felt. And I'm so sorry that that's been your experience. Because friendship should withstand the storms. But what I do know is that if that's you, the best thing that you can do is to make it your life's goal and ambition to be a loyal friend to others. Like just to find someone and invest in them no matter what. Because there's something beautiful and healing that God can do in your heart. This isn't in my notes, so I know this is for somebody today. There's something really beautiful that God can do in your heart where it's been broken, where you felt rejected, where you felt abandoned. When you actually say, I'm gonna just begin to be the kind of friend that I'm looking for, and I'm gonna find somebody who needs me to invest in them. And it's like God begins to heal some of those broken places. So that's just a rabbit trail for somebody today. I don't know who it's for. Here's a question for you. Well, let me tell you this. I found it's actually easier for someone to be loyal through hard times than good times. Here's my question. How do you react when a friend that you have has success in an area that you are hoping for? Maybe they get a job or a promotion that you wanted. Maybe it's having a child, maybe like I talked about earlier, it's somebody that's pregnant and you're like, man, I've been trying and I've been waiting and I've been ready for this to happen again. How do you react when a friend is celebrating success in something that you wish you had? How do you react when your friend's marriage is thriving and yours feels like it's falling apart? How do you respond in those moments? Because I found that it's really easy for us to be loyal and to step in the moments where somebody's struggling. Like we can wrap our arms around somebody and say, I'm so sorry that you're walking through that. And we can encourage them in the hard times. But man, when they're succeeding and their life is flourishing and it looks better than my life, those are the moments when loyalty is really tested. So how do you respond when someone else is experiencing something you hoped for? Can you be loyal then, or do you start to pull away from the relationship? You know, why is it that we get so jealous of one another? Over the years, I have found that comparison, jealousy, competition, all these things were the constant lens in which I was seeing my relationships and my friends. And I was one of the girls who didn't struggle with being loyal in hard times because hard times are easy to come alongside of people. But I struggled when my friends were experiencing success in the things that I wanted to experience success in. So in order to become a loyal person, I had to make a decision. Just like I do with the comparison thoughts, the thoughts pop in my head, but it's what I do with them that matters. To become a loyal friend, I had to become a person who was going to celebrate people in the middle of their best days, in the middle of every one of their successes. So I made up a mantra. If you do read the book, you'll find it in there. And you can borrow it if you would like it to become your own. But I made up a mantra and it goes like this. I am a champion of and a cheerleader for my friends. I am a champion of and a cheerleader for my friends. I am a champion of and a cheerleader for my friends. And here's what I would do, you guys. Every single stinking time I had the thoughts of comparison or jealousy pop into my head, every single time I had a friend that was experiencing something that was amazing in their life, but I felt like I was missing out in mine, every single time I began to say out loud, I am a champion of and a cheerleader for my friends. And I would just say it out loud until my heart caught up with my words. And sometimes that's what we got to do. So if you really want to develop real, authentic relationships, if you want to be the kind of girl that is confident in who you are, that supports the people that are around you, that has real friendships, you got to confront the comparison thoughts, but you've also got to be the girl that says, no matter what somebody else is experiencing, I'm a champion of and a cheerleader for my friends. And I'm telling you, if you'll actually let those words come out of your mouth, I promise your heart will eventually catch up with it. There's something about the power in the words that we speak that actually shifts the posture in the narrative of our heart. And that's what I just had to start doing. You know, each of us is running in our own lane. Everything that I need to fulfill the purpose that God created me for is in my lane. Every person I'm supposed to reach, every relationship I'm supposed to have is in my lane. So I don't need what's in your lane. You and I are meant to discover our gifts, our abilities, our talents, and to develop them. Corinthians 4:7 says, isn't everything you have a sheer gift from God? So what's the point of all the comparing and competing? Isn't everything you have a sheer gift from God? Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be secure. See, girls, every single one of us was created on purpose for a purpose. And just like I was reminding you that you're uniquely made as who God intended you to be, He doesn't make any mistakes. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life, and it's the reason you're on the planet. The children that you have are part of God's unique purpose for your life. It's the reason you're on the planet. And God's like carved out this lane before you that if you will get your mind fixed on focusing on the path before your feet, and get your eyes off of the path that's in front of somebody else. It'll help you deal with some of the issues of comparison and jealousy. It says, no, that's their path. That's their story. That's what God is writing with their life, but God's writing something different with my life. And those are the ways that when we walk through hard times and we're just so discouraged and we're frustrated and we're overwhelmed because it feels like the issues and the problems that we're dealing with, nobody else is dealing with, and it feels unfair, and we get to a place where we're frustrated. If we will just get our eyes on the path in front of our own feet. I don't understand why I'm walking through this right now. I don't understand why my story looks this way, but God, I trust you with the path before me. I'm gonna keep my eyes on the path that you have me on. I'm telling you, it will shift the nature of all of your relationships. And what I know is that to make it through this great, big, beautiful life that God has entrusted us with is we need one another. The girls that are sitting around your table right now, you may not know them that well yet. Maybe you know them very well. But maybe just perhaps you've been placed in that seat where you are with the women that are around you for a reason. Because you need someone that's gonna pray with you and pray for you. I got to sit down at this table back here in the back for just a few moments and already heard about a prayer request from the last few weeks that God just in his own way answered and turned a hard situation around. And that's what this is about, doing life together, praying for one another, encouraging one another. And in the moments where things are hard, having people to say, I'm with you. And the moments where things are great, having people to say, I'm celebrating for you. That's what this is about. Because together we're better. Two are better than one because there's a sweet reward for their labor. And I just want to remind you, girls, no matter how difficult relationships have been for you in the past, I'm just telling you, there's something beautiful about finding some friends that you can surround yourself with who are gonna speak life over you, who are gonna encourage you, who are gonna champion you. And the best way to find those people is to be that person yourself. And as you begin to do that, not only will it affect the relationships that you have, but it'll affect the children that you're raising. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest joys in my life is seeing my kids thrive. It's seeing them become women who actually have healthy friendships, healthy relationships. There's nothing I want more in life than to see my kids run the race that God has created them to run. And I know you want the same thing. I know you want it. No matter how little your little one is, I know you want the same thing. And the best thing you can do do that is to make sure you surround yourself with some godly friends, that you open up your heart to relationship where you've been closed off, and that you begin to champion and encourage one another like never before. So I'm gonna do this. I wanna take a moment and just pray over us. And then before I jump off the stage, and somebody will have to give me time. Okay. I'm gonna do a quick pivot. Everybody say pivot. And I'm gonna give you a few other random fun things that I just wanna leave in your tool belt today. But my heart is this. My heart is that we become women who actually celebrate and champion one another, who have authentic relationships with one another, who recognize our need for one another, and that we raise some kids who learn how to treat people in the same way. Because I think if we can do that, we can actually make such a massive impact in the current culture that we live in. And that's what I want more than anything. So let me take a moment and just pray for you. And can I just ask you, wherever you are at your tables, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? And I just want to pray over you today. There's some discussion questions you're going to talk through, but I just want to lift you up. Jesus, I just thank you for the women that are here. God, you know their story. God, you know their unique pain points. God, you know the women that are here that have just had such a challenging time with relationships in the past. God, you know those that have felt wounded and rejected. God, you know the ones that have felt abandoned. And Lord, I'm just so grateful that in your grace and your mercy, you meet us in those places. God, I just pray that you would bring healing to any areas of our heart that have felt betrayed. God, I just pray for every woman in this room, God, that you would encourage her. God, I pray that this week, that just like My husband grabbed my glasses and cleaned the smudges off of them that day. God, I just pray that you would surround her with people who can encourage her. And God, those moments that comparison tries to set in, jealousy's creeping to the forefront of her mind, God, I just pray that you would grab her heart's attention. God, that you'd give her the strength to just guard her heart. God, I pray that you would bring just peace to any confusion in the name of Jesus. And God, I just thank you that you've created us for relationships. And I pray that in this room and in these groups, God, that you would just do something so intentional and so real as these women lean into one another. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, here's what I know. The day that my husband leaned over and grabbed my glasses from me, I didn't realize that they were dirty. And there's some people sitting around you today that when you break out into conversation, they might be sitting next to you just like my husband was sitting next to me, and they might be able to go, hey, I know you don't realize this, but there's like some smudges there. Can I help you? And can I just encourage you, open your heart to people around you who are like that, who are willing to be brave enough to say, hey, could you maybe, like, maybe that's a little bit of comparison right there. Can we clean that smudge off? Like, that's another reason that we need one another. It's because sometimes we can't see the issues that we're struggling with. So as you have conversation at your tables today, allow one another to speak in to you and to challenge you, because friends should challenge and they should also encourage. Amen? Okay, can I pivot really quick? Are you ready? Everybody say pivot. Say it a little louder. Okay, I need your permission. So, the best way to be an incredible mom starts with dealing with the things that are inside of us, but then come some practical tools that you can put in your tool belt for raising amazing kids. And I just love to throw these out there, and I'm gonna do it really quickly for you. So if you're taking notes, I'm gonna encourage you to write this down. And it stems from a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart." And listen to this part. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." And it continues on, and here's basically what it's saying, you guys. Hey, God has given you the amazing kid that he has given to you. Whether you have one or two or three or seven, we have someone in our church right now that has nine. Amazing. I don't know how she does it. But here's what I know. God gave them to you, and he's entrusted you to raise them up in the way they should go. And so I just want to give you a couple little practicals that we did with our girls that maybe as your kids start getting older, as they start talking, as they start walking, that maybe you could apply. And I like to call them carpool devotionals because we used to drive our kids to preschool at least like 2 or 3 days a week. And I found that the time in the car when they were buckled into a seatbelt and had nothing else to do and nowhere else to go was like the perfect time for teaching them some of the truth of God's word. So we started learning some different things from the Bible that we have done all the way up until this point. And if I brought my sophomore in high school up here on the stage, she could quote to you every single one of the things I'm about to give to you. But we started when they were like 3 and 4 years old. And we started by teaching some things like the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5, and I'm gonna tell you why it's important, and I'm also gonna give you a quick little tip. Make it fun. So we started in the car teaching the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit are, we did hand motions, because if you do hand motions with your kids, I'm telling you it will make a difference. Love, I'm trying to make a heart. Love, joy, peace, patience. I don't know if everybody wears a watch anymore, but patience. And then we did kindness, like you act like you're going in to hug somebody. Kindness. Oh my goodness. Faithfulness, like you're praying. Gentleness. How many of you are telling your kids, gentle hands? Gentleness. And this is a fun one. Self-control. It's like you're gonna hit somebody, but no, I'm not, because I have self-control, okay? So we did all of these motions with our kids, and every single time we put them in the car, we would go through them again. All right, guys, we're gonna do the fruit of the Spirit. Are you ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, oh my goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as they got older, they had these things memorized, but as they got older and they were going to school, we'd say, hey, which one of those are you going to work on today? Because if the Spirit of God lives inside of you, then those are the things that should be coming out of your life. So what's the thing you're going to work on today? They'd say, patience. Okay, what does patience look like today at school? And we'd have those conversations. But those are little ways that you can teach things along the way. When my daughter Brooklyn was 3, we learned the 10 commandments. And she learned it like this. You can make it your own thing. It's found in the book of Exodus, but most people don't know them anymore. And it starts, let's see if I can do it. It starts with 1, there's only one God. 2, no idols. 3, keep the Lord's name holy. 4, keep the Sabbath holy. When you start to teach that to your kids, it means make church a priority. 5, honor your mom and dad. You want them to know that one. 6, do not kill. My kids would do it like this. Do not kill. 7, we'd say be faithful in marriage. 8, do not steal. 9, don't tell a lie. 10, and this, I have no idea why she did this when she was 3, but this is what Brooklyn did. Don't be jealous of what others have. And that's how she memorized it. So I know you're probably not going to remember all of that. If you follow me on Instagram, I'm Diva Pastor on Instagram. We're about to release some of this on a platform we have for Home University. So you can jump on there and hopefully it'll be there to where you can actually use it. But we did 10 Commandments, Fruit of the Spirit. We did the Lord's Prayer as they got older. And we would run through all of them in the car. And then we started teaching scripture verses because the Bible says, hide the word of God in your heart. And I found that for my kids, even when they were really little, learning a scripture verse was the key to helping them navigate some things. So one of the ones that I love the most, and you can take this, when my kids were struggling with fear or when they're going to school and they're feeling overwhelmed, like, I don't know if I want to be there. When they are going, I don't know if I want to be separated from you. We learned Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or dismayed because the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. And I made my kids memorize that verse. And every time they were telling me I'm scared, I would say, well, what does Joshua 1:9 say? Be strong and courageous. We began to use the word of God to help reinforce some of the things that you want to teach your kids. It also in 2 Timothy 1:7, if your kids are waking up with bad dreams, we learned 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you can start this when they're as little as like 3 years old. I promise you they can memorize this. Do it, make some motions. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Just make it fun and they will learn it with you. But I'm telling you, if you as a parent can help hide the word of God in the hearts of your kids, the moments where they're struggling, they will remember it. Another one is Psalm 56:3. It says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you and God whose word I praise. I will trust in you and I will not be afraid. My little Avery used to have nightmares all the time. So we learned Psalm 56:3 and we learned 2 Timothy 1:7. And in the middle of the night when she would wake up, I'd say, okay, what's the verse say? And we'd say it out loud together because there's something powerful about the word of God. So those are just a few little tips and tricks. Again, follow me. We're going to be posting some of this later. But I wanted to just throw out some fun little tools for your tool belt. If your kids are little, start teaching them something from the Word of God. Like, get it ingrained in their memory. The car is one of the best places for it because they're strapped in and they have nowhere to go. You have their full intention. In elementary school, sometimes my kids would roll their eyes, but we just made it into a party. And we would celebrate every time they'd memorize something new. We'd go get Yogurtland or we'd do something fun. We made it fun, but what we were doing with it is we were instilling the word of God into their heart and their spirit. And I'll tell you this, both my girls have walked through some really hard things. You can't protect your kids from everything. There's going to be hard moments that they face and they walk through in friendships, with family. But what you can do is you can plant the word of God in their heart. And when they walk through hard things, they'll know where they need to turn. And that's one of the greatest gifts you can give them as a parent. So I just jam-packed like two messages in here for you guys. One for your heart and soul, one for your kids. And I hope it was an encouragement to you today. Thank you for letting me spend the time with you. Have a great rest of your day.